Today we continue our study of the four soils, the parable of the four soils in Matthew 13. And I want to read that parable once again for us. Beginning with verse 3, he spake to them many things in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Others fell upon rocky places, where they had not much earth, and straightway they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And others fell upon the good ground, and yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He that hath ears, let him hear. And then his interpretation of this parable. He says, When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the evil one and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. He that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that hears the word and immediately with joy receives it. Yet he has no root in himself, but he endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that hears the word, the cares of the world, or the anxieties of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that hears the word and understands it, who verily bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We talked about the first two soils previously. There's the soil that is hardened and packed like a path. It's soil that the seed can't really even get into to germinate and to grow. And some people's hearts are like that. Just hardened, calloused, indifferent, spiritually insensitive. They may even boast in their hardness. And the Word of God simply can't penetrate. Their attitude is, I don't know if these things are true or not, but I'm not concerned. And Satan is very quick then. If they hear anything of the gospel, hear anything of the Word of God, he's very quick to snatch that away. They don't remember it. Then he spoke of the rocky soil. The soil that has a layer of rock under it. There's just this thin layer of soil, and it looks good on top. And the seed is able to germinate. And it sprouts up, and there seems to be some vigor, and you think, it's going to grow. But because there's no depth, the roots don't really go down. And very shortly, when it gets hot and dry, the plant drops over, it dries up, it's withered away. And Jesus said there are some people who make kind of a superficial response to the Word of God, to the gospel. And maybe they go to a meeting and they're emotionally stirred and they say, yeah, I want to become a Christian. I want to become a follower of Jesus. And there's that sort of instant response. And even maybe with joy, maybe they're excited. And yet when they go back home and the realities of the Christian life confront them. And maybe some of their old friends ridicule them a little. And they say, oh, I don't know, maybe I don't want to follow the Lord. And maybe it was just, I just got a little excited in the meeting. And the whole thing drops off. There's no lasting result from the Word. Maybe someone who's listening to me today has responded that way. Well, I'd like to say to you, That it isn't necessary for you to go on now in this kind of, should I say, a burned out state, saying, I've heard some people say, well, I tried it and it didn't work. What they mean is they had a little superficial emotional response and there wasn't really the word getting down deep into their hearts and lives. They weren't really born again. And as a result, it was just a temporary superficial happiness, enjoyment, maybe they even for a day or two they said, oh, I'm a Christian, praise the Lord. And yet there was no lasting result at all. Now, in connection with these soils, I just want to say again A heart doesn't have to remain the way it is right now. Hearts can change. People whose hearts have been hard can become softened. Perhaps this comes about through some tragedy, maybe a death in the family, maybe a sickness. It may be a loss of a job. It just may be different pressures. And as you go through these things, then you come to the point where you say, well, maybe I should listen to what God has to say. Maybe I need to read the Word. Maybe I need to hear what He's speaking to me about. And your heart may become receptive and open. And I pray that that will be true. Now, he speaks of this third type of soil. And here there seems again to be some response. And yet, it isn't a lasting response because there are too many other things competing. And it's interesting, Jesus speaks of two things that are opposites, really, that can drive the word out of your heart, that can make it unfruitful, that can kill it, really, in your own thinking and in your own experience. He says one of these things is the cares, the anxieties of this life. Some people begin to get a little interested in the gospel, maybe a little interested in the Word of God. And then they decide, well, I really don't have time for it. I've heard men, for example, say to me, you know, I don't have time for that stuff. I'm making a living, and I've got my job, and I've got my family, and I don't have time. Maybe when I get old and retire, and I'll think more about these things then. But I don't have time now. I've got to think of my family. I've got to think of making a living and paying my bills, and I don't have time to think. The anxieties of this life. How foolish. Really, though, to allow these things to kill the working of the Word of God in our hearts. Jesus would say, a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. He says that in Matthew. And what he's saying is there's more to living than having things. In other words, real living is not just being occupied with material things. There has to be a spiritual aspect. There have to be spiritual values. You have to be in tune with God. You have to know God to really live. How foolish, then, to allow these other things to choke out the Word of God, these cares, these anxieties. And yet people do allow them to. If you become a believer, let me say this to you. If you trust the Lord, you're putting yourself in the hands of someone who really cares for you. Jesus emphasized that time and again. He could say, look at the birds. He said, you know, they get along all right. God takes care of them. He said, look at the flowers. Aren't they beautiful? Solomon wasn't dressed as beautifully as they are. Who takes care of them? God takes care of them. And he says, you're worth much more than birds or flowers. And he says, God will take care of you. Will you trust him? Will you receive Christ as your Savior and put yourself in his hands and believe that God really cares for you? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. He says, God cares for you. And really, when you get down to it, our actual needs are kind of few, aren't they? We many times think we have more needs than we really do. We may think in terms of, well, you know, I need a new car this year and I need this. Do we really? What we really need is to come to know the Lord. What we really need is to know our sins forgiven. And if we've come to Him, what is the most important then is living for God. All these material things are going to be gone one day. And as Job said, naked I came into the world and naked I'm going to leave it. He said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you're going to leave behind one day all of these material things that you're spending so much time scrambling to get. But if you come to know the Lord, if you belong to Him, then you've got something that will last eternally. but the opposite can also make the seed unfruitful, and Jesus talks about that. On the one hand, maybe not having enough, so you're anxious, or not having as much as you'd like to have, anxiety. On the other hand, he says, the deceitfulness of riches. A man who has a lot, who's a wealthy man, who has his stocks and bonds, and who has his investments, and who has his beautiful home, and who has his, new lovely cars. Maybe if he wants to, he can buy a new Mercedes-Benz every 6 months. He's wealthy. He has no material anxieties, really. He can trust his riches. He can say, I've got everything that I want. I don't need anything. What can God do for me, in effect? Now, he may not put it that way, but this is the way he thinks. He thinks, I've got all I need. I've done all right. And I did it without God. Why do I need God? And so the word oftentimes can't get really take root and can't really bear a harvest in the hearts of rich people, because they're very smug, they're very complacent, they're satisfied. They think they have everything they need. And yet they don't realize that they're poverty-stricken in the area that's most important, the spiritual area. And then Jesus talks about this good soil. He says there's good soil where the word falls, and this is responsive. This is a heart that responds to the word of God. This is a heart that's open to it. This is a heart now that becomes productive. It's plowed deeply. There's conviction of sin. It's a heart that, as Luke puts it, is a good and honest heart. A heart that's sincere. A heart that means business. A heart that says, Lord, I want to know you. And I'm not just wanting to play games. And I want this sin question taken care of. I would like to get to know you, the true and living God. And when there's a heart that's like that, that is open and that is searching, God promises he'll respond to that heart. And the word of God here can take root, and it can produce a spiritual harvest in that heart. What kind of heart is your heart? Is yours a good and honest heart? A heart where the word of God can fall and can germinate and can produce spiritual fruit for God? Think about that today.